This is Radio Maria, and welcome to Pro Parent with Ciro Candia.
Hello, and welcome to Pro Parent, the program that promotes confident parenting with me, Ciro Candia. My mission? To provide parents with the tools and encouragement to become the best mothers and fathers God is calling them to be, fostering homes where children grow in character and virtue. Remember how your parents always insisted you sit up straight, avoid fidgeting, and keep your elbows off the table? Well, these were considered essential rules for proper table manners. However, it seems younger generations today are challenging these traditions. Research I read recently conducted for the pizza restaurant Prezzo indicates that over 60% of Generation Z, so those aged between 12 and 27, consider traditional table manners irrelevant and nonsense. More than a third of these young people admit to using their phones at the table or other electronic gadgets, and shockingly, over half don't care about how they hold their knife and fork. So it would appear that Generation Z is driving a shift, let's say, towards more relaxed dining etiquette. Growing up, for me, and I'm sure for you too, table manners were a big deal. It was all about offering others bread, water, salt, pepper first, and never reaching across the table. A polite thank you when the food was served, but no smacking your lips or rubbing your belly. Chewing with your mouth open or talking with food in it was a definite no-no. You could eat during conversations, but a simple nod would suffice if someone asked you a question mid-bite. Then there were the napkin rules and the importance of avoiding any noises while eating, at least not irritating noises like scraping your cutlery or chomping. I remember my mother frowning upon mopping up tomato sauce when pasta was served with bread, you know, when guests were around. She didn't have any issue with this when it was just the family, but when it was guests around, we couldn't do that mopping up. These are some of the manners that younger generations seem to care less about, according to the Prezzo research. Although I think they'd probably be quite happy with the mopping up the sauce. Anyway, this leads me to the conclusion that perhaps parents today are putting less energy into teaching good manners than in the past. You know, remember those constant reminders? You know, what do you say? Say excuse me? What's the magic word? These were relentless phrases back in the day, even exhausting sometimes. As a parent myself now, I can imagine how exhausting it would have been for my parents to repeat these phrases over and over again. But that kind of repetition perhaps seems to have fallen out of favour today. And it's got me thinking about why good manners and etiquette in general are so important, especially in a home where parents want values to take root. Those little acts of politeness and courtesy are where bigger virtues start to grow. So why does politeness matter? Well, it's not just about rules. It's about showing dignity. It's saying, I respect you to the other and I want to treat you with kindness because that's what you deserve as a human being. Good manners don't just reflect well on the polite person, but they make the other person feel valued too. You know, most of us assume that when we meet a courteous person, that person has other positive values. Respect, maturity, responsibility, a certain life of integrity. I mean, not always is this true. Some of it can be superficial at times. But on the whole, that's what we assume. And that courtesy usually gets returned. So when we are courteous to others, then we find that others are courteous back. So in the end, good manners are good for everyone involved. And I've discovered over the years that there's an interesting rule about relationships. That whether you have a close relationship or even a distant one, manners always matter. Sometimes in really strong marriages, perhaps, or comfortable marriages, people can fall into the lazy trap of thinking, well, you know, she knows I love her, So why do I need to bother with some of these courtesies? And the danger here is slipping into apathy. Right? On the flip side, in poor marriages, politeness may fall by the wayside because there's less goodwill to begin with. In these situations, bad manners aren't even in the top three or four of the concerns because the couple feel, well, there are bigger issues at play here. But no matter how strong or shaky your relationship, there's always room for improvement. People like being treated with courtesy. It makes those we like even nicer and even softens the rough edges of those we don't. Being rude doesn't just show disinterest, it can actually build resentment. For example, if I'm consistently more polite with strangers, with the plumber, the postman, than I am with my own spouse, that sends a pretty clear message to her. Treating your spouse like they're lower on your manners priority to the postman or the plumber is a surefire way to strain your relationship. So where do we begin with all these things? Well, it's saying lots of pleases and thank yous and excuse me. These are a powerful handful of tiny words. And think of good manners as a key unlocking positive responses and a much smoother social experience. And the more we use these words, the more we'll get back in return. Appreciation, kindness, warmer dynamic all round. And when it comes to raising children, good manners aren't just about politeness. They're about building character. Think of it like sculpting good habits that will shape your child's personality, leading to their happiness as both a child and then later on as an adult. But true courtesy has to come from the heart, from a deep respect for others. Those are the habits that will give your child the tools to navigate life's challenges. After all, parenting is about equipping them for the future, teaching them to not only navigate their own lives, but to build strong, lasting relationships. Remember, you're not just caring for your children today, you're shaping the person they'll become. Beyond the basics of food, shelter, and love, a happy adult depends heavily on good character habits, optimism, kindness, honesty, and yes, courtesy, and those little acts of respect. It's these habits that make or break our relationships with others. Now, happiness isn't about fleeting feelings or depending on what others do. It's about those internal patterns of behaviour. It's about how we shape the experiences that we have. Today's young people, however, struggle with really strong emotions and impulses that they don't always shape effectively. And it's no wonder, therefore, that the Prezzo research highlights that good manners, good table manners, are in decline. Young people nowadays just don't feel like showing those sorts of manners at the table. What we need to do is to raise children with good intentions, not just good manners. We need to teach them to overcome that inner laziness when it comes to how they treat others. And parents who patiently and lovingly focus on these kinds of values give their children a priceless gift. The ancient wisdom still rings true. The Talmud sums it up perfectly. Character is everything, says the Talmud. Or like Plutarch said, character is really just our well-established habits. So going back to marriages, spousal courtesy, therefore, shouldn't depend on how strong your marriage is at the moment. While some think good manners in marriage require deep feelings, as I said, that's not true. It's not about feelings. It's like asking, please pass me the coffee. You don't need to have deep fondness for coffee to make the request polite. A simple thank you in our exchanges is appreciation enough. But what we can't do is wait for the perfect emotion before acting with kindness. Bad habits, as we all know, are ingrained by repetition. And replacing those bad habits requires practice. And that can sometimes feel awkward at first, but we persevere through it. Some might say, well, I've tried being polite to my spouse and it just goes nowhere, it makes no difference. But think of good manners as their own reward. Selfless acts are the strongest foundation for acting. And maybe your first 20 thank yous only get back 2 replies. But if you persist months later, it might be 10. And regardless, you're aiming for improvement, not for perfection. And tone matters a great deal, as much as the words. Now, there's a fine line between polite courtesy and veiled sarcasm. When people say thank you in a sarcastic way, but if your tone is laced with negativity, those words eventually are going to lose all meaning. The best way to make those good manners sound genuine is to use them consistently and sincerely in a positive context. No snide remarks hidden behind a polite phrase. You don't want your spouse thinking you've said this before but with a different intent. And never assume your spouse can just read your mind. Surveys show that we're not great at guessing how others feel based on how we look. Anxiety, for example, is, as we know, an internal state, or largely an internal state. It does have physical manifestations, but it's not always readily obvious to others. So when we walk in a room, we might be feeling very nervous and very anxious about meeting others, but they don't necessarily read that on our faces. We think that they do, but that's not always the case. Faking a smile eventually leads to a bit of genuine cheer. Polite words can sound more sincere with time, even if at first they feel a little bit forced. Your spouse will hear the words, especially if those words are aimed at a husband, and they will take those words at face value. When I say husbands, this is not being sexist, it's just the fact that many men aren't as tuned in to social subtleties. We may not be able to always read the room, so if we're told something politely, then we just assume that's what it is. Anything out of the ordinary, even a good thing, takes getting used to. It all starts with practice. The more we use those polite phrases genuinely, with sincerity, the more natural they'll become. And eventually, that courteous new will simply be you. And what makes some marriages thrive while others struggle? Looked at this whole issue in the last few episodes. And as you know, it's not about a picture-perfect life. Even happily married couples argue about the same things. The secret isn't the absence of storms. They're going to be arguing about money, children, the in-laws, just like unhappy married couples argue about the same things. No, the foundation of a happy marriage is friendship, deep friendship, not the flashy romance of extravagant dates and once in a blue moon or expensive gifts, but the everyday acts that say, I love you, I recognize, I see you, I respect you, I'm fond of you. Little courtesies like remembering a doctor's appointment and saying to your spouse, how did that go? Or a quick text during a long work day, taking that time out to just send a little emoji with a few words to accompany. All of these things strengthen that marital bond. And this kind of consistent courtesy means that when the storm clouds of conflict do roll in, well, the foundation of friendship remains strong. And therefore the way we deal with that conflict means that the marriage is as strong as ever. On the flip side, some couples get trapped into this kind of whirlwind of negativity, this negative mindset, which I've talked about often, assuming the worst about their spouse. And these harsh assumptions can become a habit, a way of thinking. So we start our conversations with polite words, with courtesy, offering a simple act of refinement, even when the feeling isn't fully there yet. It creates a path back to trust if we've drifted, but it always lays the groundwork for a much stronger marriage. And we'll leave the last word to Generation Z when it comes to manners, but to table manners in particular, as we've talked about that a lot. Research suggests that Generation Z, so this is the study that Prezzo commissioned, that Generation Z are more attuned, surprisingly, to poor table manners at restaurants than older generations. The survey found that 75% of Generation Z admitted to witnessing traditionally bad manners while dining out. And this is the bad manners of their peers, compared to only 47% of Generation X. So these are people like me, born between 1965 and 1980. And I think this data may suggest, or it suggests to me at least, that while Generation Z may not always exemplify perfect table etiquette themselves, they're at least aware of these bad manners in others, and in particular their peers. Anyway, something for us to work on as parents. That's all from me, Ciro Candia, on today's episode of ProParent, the programme that promotes confident parenting. Tune in, same time, next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Radio Maria, and thank you to all of you who support us with a monthly donation. We rely entirely on the generosity of our listeners to continue to be a Christian voice by your side. To find out more about how to support us, please visit www.radiomariaengland.uk.